The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Tropical hot dog night!
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, music, and whistling Dixies coming to you live from the snowy and melty confines of Merrick, Long Island. This is our 10th episode, a micro milestone. 10 weeks, and I couldn't have done it without all of you. Actually, I could have, but it would have been kind of hermetic and pointless, wouldn't it? Anyway, I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, theater critic, humorist, and rapscallion. And if you're going to Rapscallion, I suggest using double Ziploc bags. This is a show about silliness, satire, music, politics, Miss Elaney, and Mr. Elaney. I will warn you, as I do every week, that this is not a show for children. They're not going to hear anything to stunt their growth or make the FCC go, ooh. But this is really for grown-ups. So if you've shown up and you haven't yet thrown up, we'll try and keep the tone up. You know, in promoting Dave's Gone By and telling people what it is and what I want to do with it, I mentioned that it has a lot of influences. Obviously, Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update is a precursor to some of the things I do in the News Gone By. So is Howard Stern and The Daily Show. I think you can hear everyone from Steve Allen to Ernie Kovacs in the sketches. I'm not putting myself in their company, I'm just saying there's lineage. And, like Dr. Demento, I have a consanguinity for novelty songs and unusual recordings. And some of the more serious or eclectic stuff on here might be influenced by people like Vin Scalzo or Glenn Jones or the old idealized dream of freeform radio. But if there's another media personality I'm trying to pattern this whole whatchamacallit after, believe it or not, it's Joe Franklin. His TV program was about lumping together completely disparate guests and seeing whether they had anything to talk about. On the radio, he's still on the radio, it's more standard nostalgia stuff, old songs, a few interviews. But the beauty of JF is that he is what he projects. Even if there's an undercurrent of absurdity he's sort of in on, sort of not, he's too weird a character to really tell for sure. I was lucky enough to be on Joe's TV show years ago, and I've interviewed Joe and spent time at his astonishingly cluttered Midtown office. He's not just a person, he's an experience, and I think that's wonderful. And what was profound to me was the feeling he projects that the guy with some obscure talent, or the forgotten actress from silent movies, or the fella pushing some self-published diet book, that all these people can be just as fascinating, just as worthy to be on television or radio as a big Hollywood star. It's an ethos that filtered down to David Letterman with the stupid human tricks, or Johnny Carson when he talked to that potato chip lady. It also influenced, in a less patronizing way, every good documentary about real people being people. Why is a celebrity yakking up some movie and telling inane stories about their recent vacation? Why is that superior entertainment to the unknown person with a really great tale to tell? Or an offbeat skill that leaves everybody going, whoa, that was cool, or, well, that was different. And that's what I really take from Joe, and that's the explanation for why I'm so happy to have my special guest tonight. No, it's not Joe. It's Steve Herbst, Steve the Whistler Herbst, and he'll be giving us all a little mouth love later in the program. Oh, yeah. Plus, you'll have a chance to win a copy of his CD, so listen at the end for that. But first, it's the News Gone By, a look at events and non-events of the past week, which we'll get to right after this. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, you need to get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 60 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. It tells you when shows are opening and closing, what they're about, who's in it, designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, and dance too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, how to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Dave here. I want to give a plug to Don Lewis, host of Entertainment Long Island, Sunday nights at 10. It's an hour of interviews and advice about how to get started as a performer, be it for business or a hobby. Every show has trivia, nostalgia, live music by Eddie Hug and the Moonshiners, and Don's a real pro. He puts on a good show. So give a listen to Entertainment Long Island, 10 p.m. Sundays on WGBB, because the stage is a world of entertainment. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at events of the past week from a whistling past the graveyard perspective. First in the news, UN inspectors began their tour of Iraq with a surprise visit to one of Saddam Hussein's opulent palaces. They checked closets, cupboards, empty rooms, ventilation systems, not one weapon. They did, however, find Saddam's prized stash of penthouse magazines, a pack of unused condoms, and a bong left over from Hussein's years following the Grateful Dead. Baghdad has promised to comply with the weapons inspectors, though their claim to have absolutely no implements of mass destruction still sounds about as phony as Miss Cleo's Rastafarian accent. Speaking of hide-and-go-seek, Washington is still buzzing over the selection of former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger to lead the investigation as to what went wrong on 9/11. The man who tried to keep the disaster in Vietnam a secret, and pretty much every other aspect of his job a secret, is now supposed to uncover the secret of why the CIA and the FAA and the DEA fouled up, why nobody knew Arab terrorists were hijacking four American planes to send us a message of Allah's love and goodness. Now, granted, if you want to fix problems of national security involving secret codes and high levels of defense, you probably want a guy who won't blab everything to the media. Someone who won't give any terrorist watching the 6 o'clock news a heads up. Psst, hey, Ahmed, Phil Simmons just said there's a security breach on the fifth floor of the Pentagon. She mispronounced Pentagon, but still, let's go. But seriously, a little secrecy on the details of our homeland security may not be a terrible thing. At the same time, a good portion of the American public have a vague suspicion that the Bush administration is somehow complicit in the whole tragic mess, or, at the very least, they're not owning up to what's really going on with Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and pretty much every other country on the map. When Henry Kissinger tells the whole story behind George Bush, Salem bin Laden, Osama's brother, their business dealings together, and any favors the president is doing for his old friend's family, then, just maybe, we'll have a little more confidence in the words emerging from W's oval orifice.
Henry Kissinger, how I'm missing you and wishing you were here. Henry Kissinger, how I'm missing you. You're so chubby and so mean, with your funny clothes and your squishy nose. You're like a German pear. Henry Kissinger, how we're missing you and wishing you were here.
even those okay with Kissinger's appointment have expressed concern that the elder statesman, now 79 years old, may simply be too long out of the loop for this job. White House spokesperson Ari Fleischer counters that, however, saying Kissinger has worked secretly behind the scenes, twisting and turning reality on behalf of the current administration. How else to explain the November Republican election sweep, the Democrats actually considering Al Gore for 2004, and the popularity of TV's The Bachelor? Only a scheming subterranean madman would let these calamities happen. In local news, 42-year-old Royson Doran from North Massapequa was roaming around the backstage area of the Jones Beach Theater when she fell through the ceiling. According to Newsday, she got wedged between two levels in a tangle of heating ducts and plumbing pipes. Ms. Doran screamed and banged a piece of brick against a pipe until, 15 hours later, rescue workers were able to extract her. Doctors at Nassau University Medical Center said they could tell she was disoriented because she called this the worst time she'd ever had at Jones Beach Theater, completely forgetting that she once sat through a double bill of Air Supply and John Tesh. On the local crime front, Stuart Roll, a millionaire from the condiment industry, was sentenced to 6 months in jail and 5 years probation for promoting prostitution. Roll, who lives in the aptly named Dix Hills, would rent out his house to female college students who used it as a brothel. Roll's lawyer is appealing the jail term, but his client is not exactly remorseful. In fact, he's mainly angry that his neighbors went to the cops instead of complaining directly to him. Asked for a quote, the eccentric Roll told Newsday, "Next time a girl asks me for money, I'll buy her an ice cream truck, a Frankfurter stand. Of course, I'll put it in front of my neighbor's house and I'll let them complain." Roll also gave his motto for success in business. Quote, "Always sell something for more than you paid. Never give money back. But now I have two new rules. Never think you're above the law and never get caught." Unquote. This led Roll's attorney to add that his client had been, quote, "ashamed and somewhat chastened by his verdict." Oh yeah, I haven't seen someone so ashamed of his bad behavior since my 3-year-old cousin broke wind and giggled for an hour about it. No, wait, that was me. In entertainment news, at a benefit for Off-Broadway's Vineyard Theater this week, actress Susan Sarandon was quoted as saying she's proud of all the awards and honors she's received, but she hopes the next one will be more practical. Sarandon said, quote, "I'm originally from Edison, New Jersey, so the next honor I'd like to get is to have a rest stop in New Jersey named after me. I've given this some thought," she continued, "and I realize my candidacy for this honor is somewhat limited by being a woman, so it is probably more realistic to campaign for the ladies' room section," unquote. Sarandon added that she hoped fellow Jerseyites Danny DeVito and Bruce Springsteen would get their own bathrooms. Of course, this also brings back memories of Howard Stern lobbying former New Jersey Governor Christy Whitman for the same thing. She promised that if she won re-election, he'd get a plaque and a comfort station on Route 295. She did, and he did. Well, I have to admit, I have some vanity too. And certainly, anyone who wants to name a public toilet after me or my show, I'd be incredibly flattered. But I realize I'm not well known enough to even think about receiving this kind of honor, so I'm going to start small. I'm going to ask my listeners to show their appreciation in little ways. If you love the show, take a red magic marker and write "Dave's Gone By" on the rim of your toilet. Write my name on a scrap of paper and float it in your toilet tank. If you're urinating in the snow from this week's storm, write "Dave's Gone By" in pretty script letters. You can add a brown apostrophe later. And if it's the morning after a long night, and you're running into the bowl to toss your tacos, why not do it with the toilet lid down? Then use your index finger to draw my picture in your chunder chowder. And the next time you get explosive diarrhea, sorry about that, try to spray it in the formation of the letters DGB, and then show your friends. As I said, nothing would make me happier than to have a row of twiggies in a Broadway theater named after me. But until then, this show's going to need a more personal, homemade promotional campaign to get the word out. A kind of grassroots program. So, if you want to make me gladder, use your bowels and bladder. Further entertainment news. In an interview with ABC Primetime's Diane Sawyer, singer Whitney Houston confessed to nursing an extensive drug habit for several years. "I party a lot," Houston said. "Trust me, I party my tail off. But I'm beyond it. It's past. It's done." Houston admitted to having eating problems, but denied being anorexic or bulimic, charges that came up when she appeared real thin and unsteady at a Michael Jackson tribute concert last year. In the Primetime interview, Houston admitted to abusing coke, marijuana, booze, and prescription drugs. But she drew the line at crack. This is a quote. "I don't do crack. I don't do that. Crack is whack. Crack is cheap. I make too much money for me to ever smoke crack." End quote. Kind of an interesting statement there, leaving the possibility open that if crack were more expensive, Houston would have given it a whirl. Which makes me wonder whether there's more of a connection between a star's income and profile and the drugs they do. For example, Elvis abused every imaginable prescription medication, while Hollywood stars of the 70s and 80s did so-called designer drugs like cocaine and synthetic heroin. Paula Poundstone and Billy Joel got hooked on quality schnapps, while Kitty Dukakis had to settle for rubbing alcohol and mouthwash. Anne Heche had no trouble coughing up the clams for ecstasy, and Nick Nolte can score all the GHB in the world. I guess the sad part is that Corey Feldman has to wash car windows just for a joint and a bottle of NyQuil. In an unrelated story, in a recent speech, Cuban President Fidel Castro asked his countrymen to opt for healthier lifestyles. Claiming he quit smoking cigars 22 years ago, Castro begged his people to go easy on strong drink, especially the beloved national product, rum. "How much damage has rum caused any society?" Castro asked. "How many deaths from this irresponsibility of accidents and alcoholic drink?" It's a valid point. Countless political dissidents in Cuba have suffered the ill effects of alcohol, irritating their torture wounds and keeping their broken bones from healing. Finally, if you were listening to last week's show, I went on a tear about all the rising prices about to hit the people of New York State, subway and rail fares, property taxes, commuter taxes, and the rumor that Long Island's Cablevision would be hiking its fees come January. Well, it's not a rumor. Cablevision rates will be going up at nearly 10%, including jumps not only in premium packages, but in so-called broadcast basic services, equipment, and one-time charges. According to Newsday, the increases are higher than any other cable company in the United States, more than quadruple the current inflation rate. Well, folks who listened last week also may remember that I did a tribute to Joyce Kilmer, including reading his poems Madness and the world-famous Trees. I must admit, the latter poem influenced me this week as I contribute my little piece of doggerel to the cable wars. I call it Fees. I think that I shall never see a rip-off bigger than cable TV. 100 channels, each a bore, and if you want movies, you gotta pay more. Home Shopping Network, Telecare, Bet, the Yankees on Yes. Are we having fun yet? While I'm watching the tube in my woolly flannels, I don't want to see commercials on my old movie channels. They are padding their prices, though their coffers are swollen, making us pay the excesses of Dolan. Poems are made by those who are able, but only Satan could have come up with cable. And that's the news gone by for December 8th, 2002. Send in your comments, opinions, and illegal cable boxes to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Please, no cigars. The cute intern is off tonight. Start spreading the news. There's a new magazine in town with the latest stories and reviews about everything on stage. On and Off Magazine is a glossy, full-color guide to theater, dance, comedy, and cabaret in New York City. The best part is, it's free. You can find On and Off around town at theaters, restaurants, hotels, and community and information centers. Visit www.onandoffstage.com for more information, and let On and Off be your guide. Stephen Sondheim once wrote that anyone can whistle, but it's not necessarily true. Some people whistle a little better than others. Or, to put it a different way, we've all heard of Whistler's mother, but here today in the studio on Dave's Gone By, I have the Whistler himself, Steve the Whistler Herbst. Welcome to WGBB.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you so much. And, well, that is what you do. It's not the only thing you do, but it really is your sideline career of making a musical instrument out of whistling. So, before anything else, just how did that come about?
Well, Dave, my dad was a good whistler, as well as being a singer and an instrumentalist. As a kid, I used to listen to him, and I got inspired to see if I couldn't emulate or do that. And
what instrument did he play?
Oh, he played piano, organ, recorder, ukulele, off the top of my head.
And did he teach you any, or did you take lessons in any of those instruments?
No. No, I never I never took any music lessons.
Okay.
I took drums for about a month in grade school and gave it up.
Gotcha.
But I started singing as a little boy, and actually by age five I was serenading a neighbor lady who used to, she used to lean out the window of her garden apartment, and I used to stand on the lawn in front of her house, and I'd sing something for her, and then she'd invite me up to pick a toy out of her grown son's toy chest, and I considered that my first paid gig.
Excellent. But how did, okay, so you're singing, and at what point did people start saying, you know, you sing really well, but you do something else that's, like, unusual, and...
Well, the odd thing, and I really wasn't thinking about it or really particularly aware of it at the time, but as a small boy, and as I started whistling around seven, I was really doing it for my own pleasure. Everywhere I walked, I would whistle. And if you would interview Whistler's mother, my mother, now, she'd tell you that she wasn't even aware of my being a whistler until I was an adult. By age 10, I was whistling Peter and the Wolf everywhere I went, which is Prokofiev, and I used that to develop range and different, you know, tonalities. By the time I got into college, that's when I started whistling in concerts. So that's when people really became aware of it. Prior to that, I'd get together with a friend who was a jazz pianist, and we'd go into a rehearsal room, and he'd sit down at the keyboard, and I would, you know, do improv with him, and that was just like between the two of us, you know, just for our own fun. But in college, I started whistling in concert in front of audiences.
What do you think makes you different from the average person who puts his lips together and blows? In other words, I can go like, but what is the technique? What is the special thing that you do that makes your whistling on, I guess, the professional level?
Well, first of all, I have a 3-octave range, and I can simulate different kinds of instruments, such as flutes.
Oh, all right, now, you've got to do that now. Okay, so let's say flute.
Okay, I'll take it even maybe a step better. I had occasion in college to simulate a Japanese reed flute hitting high E-flat with a grace note, sans vibrato, for Emperor Hirohito's son, Prince Mikasa, who was visiting the United States, and this was out at the Paley House out on the main line, and I was accompanying the University of Pennsylvania Glee Club, of which I was a singing member, and there were wooden claves banging, and so it kind of went something like this. I'm not sure that I can guarantee you that this particular one is high E-flat,
right?
Because I don't have something to go by, but it went something like this.
Kind of like an SOS signal, almost. It's amazing. But I have to ask the question as a sidetrack. What is a glee club?
Well, a glee club is generally a group of men who sing, and I was a four-year member and bass section leader with the University of Pennsylvania Glee Club, and I'm currently a member of the University Glee Club of New York City. We have about 150 men.
It's like an alumni thing?
Well, it's not an alumni thing. Actually, we have something like 80 or more, maybe 90 colleges or universities represented. So for the most part, not necessarily, we're men who sang in a college chorus or glee club and wanted to keep doing it.
Gleefully, basically. Well, no, yeah. I mean, it's very cool.
Gleefully, yes, okay.
But, all right, but you said flute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold you to something else. I mean, what other instrument can you sort of...
Well, here's a recorder, you know, which is the wooden...
I played it all through elementary school.
Okay.
I know it well.
This is this was something that I did also with the Penn Glee Club, and it was to simulate a kind of an American Indian, Native American kind of a sound coming out of the woods.
Cool. It has that lower, woodier tone. I remember that sound well from being like second, third, and fourth grade with like, you know, 50 other Hebrew school students trying to do
You should have that piece with a tom-tom.
It doesn't really sound...
Because Wow. We had a tom-tom going with that one.
Cool. Well, that wouldn't be a glee club. That would be a tom-tom club. But that would be a different band entirely.
Hmm.
Ha! Thank you very much. What we're going to do before we get back to talking to you, because this is really cool, is... not a track from your CD, which, by the way, is called Broadway and Beyond, CD by Steve the Whistler Herbst, international whistling champion. Well, first of all, the CD has a bunch of Broadway kinds of tracks on it, including a medley from West Side Story, Memory from Cats, of course. We opened the segment with I Could Have Danced All Night, My Fair Lady classic. This Nearly Was Mine, beautiful song from South Pacific. Lovely CD that is available from Mr. Herbst's website, www.stevethewhistler.com. Steve the Whistler. All one word. Thank you. .com. But the next track is not on it. Something a little kicky, a little lively, non-Broadway-ish, a little wonderful, wonder-full, Sir Duke. Steve the Whistler Herbst live in the studio. He had the backing track pre-recorded and whistling to Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke. Very cool stuff. So the kinds of songs that you do range from Broadway to pop, and do you go far afield into classical and stuff like that?
Well, for 2 years running, I hold the title of first in the world in classical whistling.
In what competition is this?
Well, the international competition, this past April was the 29th annual, is held in Lewisburg, North Carolina, the third weekend in April. And next year will be the 30th, so that's a big deal. If you're competing for Grand Champion, you have to compete in two rounds of classical and popular whistling. So in the preliminary round, in classical, I did Clair de Lune by Debussy.
Beautiful, yeah.
And in the final round, I did the Hungarian Rhapsody number 2 by Liszt.
Oh.
And in the popular round, I did Holiday for Strings by David Rose.
Okay.
And Danny Boy. And so so this year, I took first in classical, second year in a row I did that, and I took second place in popular, but first place overall international grand champion.
Mazel, mazel. And tell what the Irish Echo wrote about you, the newspaper. Well,
the Irish Echo reviewed my CD, Broadway and Beyond, and very, very flattered and very pleased to see that they said Herbst is to whistling as James Galway is to the flute. I consider that high praise indeed.
That's pretty neat. Now, I mentioned also the Zamfir comparison, like on the panpipes, where you take the melody, but you literally turn your personal whistling into an instrument, a wind instrument. It's just your own wind.
Well, Dave, actually, the question you asked me before about what makes what I do differently, what makes what I do different from other whistlers, the guy on the street, whatever, and I mentioned the 3-octave range, but, the other thing is that I think most people, when they whistle, are just whistling to whistle. When I whistle, I'm looking to simulate an instrument or replace an instrument, as opposed to just sounding as though I'm whistling. Also, another thing your listeners might find interesting is there are two major differences in whistling styles. One is bird whistling, and the other is instrumental whistling. And so bird whistlers try to sound like birds doing a song, and they embellish it with a lot of warbling and a
right.
lot of trills. On the other hand, an instrumental whistler, which is what I am,
right.
looks to not sound like a bird, but sound like an instrument, sound like a flute, sound like a trumpet, sound like a clarinet, or whatever, or violin.
Wow. Does your physical condition affect either the tone or your ability to do a certain thing on the day? Like, are you affected by if your sinuses are acting up, if you have cold sores or canker sores or a toothache or a sore throat? Does any of that affect?
Well, physical condition is important. I mean, first of all, there's a question of stamina. There's the question of lung power, breath control, breath power. And as an aside, you might also find it interesting compared to, the other question we keep coming back to.
Sure.
Competitive whistler has to be able to whistle in as well as whistling out. It may not,
yeah, otherwise no breath after 15 seconds.
It may not be as powerful or as pure a sound, but it also is something that keeps the music going. And so, for instance, on the Sir Duke, you might not even have noticed it, but I was also whistling in as well as whistling out to keep it going.
Right.
Getting back to the question about physical conditioning, well, sure, if your lips are chapped, that's not going to work. The mucous membranes in the mouth and the lips and the tongue, all have to be kept moist. So you've noticed I'm consuming
water, and you had
water.
A lip balm before that you were trying.
Right.
You were also doing some exercises.
Well, I was relaxing my face, the muscles in my face, because they get a workout.
Right, of course.
So that's all part of it. Obviously, if you're too tired or something, that's not going to help a whole lot either.
Well, speaking of a workout and speaking of breath control, I'm going to test you out here with something that you practiced a little bit, but really this is not one of the things that you normally do. We just wanted to give you a little test here and see if your chops are up to those of Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. A little Led Zeppelin for you here, if you can whistle along for a bit.
We'll give it a try.
Cool. Let's rock and roll with Steve the Whistler Herbst.
Thank you.
man, Free Bird! And our free whistling bird here is Steve the Whistler Herbst. www.stevethewhistler.com is Herbst. I have to do that sibilant H. All those years I had to learn to pronounce edible herbs without the H. This man comes in here and I've got to remember to hit the H hard. Anyway, speaking once more of birds, ooh. We're in WGBB Freeport with Steve Herbst. Sorry about that. Anyway, mentioned birds before, but you were telling me something really interesting. You have a bird, and I forget the name, but also something interesting about training birds. Steve.
I'm not hearing anything here.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Well, now we're back.
You're back. We're back.
We're back, folks. About my parrot, Verdi.
Verdi, yeah.
Verdi, yes. We have a Solomon Island eclectus named Verdi, and he's been doing a great job learning to talk, and he knows a little whistling. But what I was telling you before was that I had been warned that if you try to teach a parrot to whistle first,
mm-hmm.
which is easy for them to do, they may not learn to talk. So I've had to kind of restrain myself a little bit, but I do whistle to him every day.
Excellent. And you talk to him and you teach him singing, I assume, or?
Actually, I don't really get into singing with him. I whistle to him or with him or at him, however you want to look at it, often in the shower in the morning.
Excellent. Well, again, want to just, before I forget, also, not only do you have the CD Broadway and Beyond available from your website, stevethewhistler.com, but you're appearing in a couple of places, including the Kennedy Center.
Yes, next month I'm going to be part of the holiday concert series. There are two concerts on the Millennium Stage at the Kennedy Center, and if anyone's interested in seeing that, they can actually view it with streaming video on the Internet. That's Kennedy-Center.org,
mm-hmm.
and it will actually be permanently archived. So
you can go to the website whenever.
Go whenever. It'll be live December 14th and 15th between 6 and 7 p.m. and available thereafter, in perpetuity.
Terrific. And are you working on any other whistling-related projects at the moment?
Well, I've got some, things that I'm working on. Some things that are kind of in the early talking stages. Maybe doing some good causes in the city, particularly around the holidays. I'm going to be performing in Fort Lauderdale in January.
Good place to be in January.
It gives me a chance to visit Whistler's mother.
Oh, that's the third time we've used that joke in one segment. That's just way too many. And for your penance, you're going to have to whistle one more song. Again, this song is on Steve's CD, Broadway and Beyond, but he has just the backing track here. He's going to do it live for us, and we're going to close out with the beautiful Bernstein Sondheim song, Maria, from West Side Story. And here it is. Thank you, Steve. We're too far into it. Can we re-cue that one while we're doing it? And I just want to thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, man. And good luck.
Thank you very much.
Here's Maria with Steve Herbst.
It's the end of Somewhere.
Okay. Well, we're coming out of Somewhere and going into Maria. And isn't she happy about it? Okay, here we go. Thank you. Hi, folks. Dave Lefkowitz here from Dave's Gone By, and I want to tell you about a product, event, or service. I'm going to talk about it for half a minute or a minute. I'm going to make it really interesting, and all my listeners are going to go, hey, maybe I'll try this product, event, or service. It's called advertising or sponsorship, and it's easy, cost-effective, and just plain effective. To get your person, place, or thing, well, not thing, promoted on Dave's Gone By and reach listeners all over Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, and the tri-state area, just give us a call at 516-295-1511 or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and see sponsorship opportunities, ad rates, and more. Again, the number, 516-295-1511. Insert your product, event, or service here. At Long Island Cablevision, our goal is to give you the best service possible, the widest selection of programming in a format tailored to your needs. We know that some of our customers have expressed concern over the adjustment of prices for service and equipment taking effect in January. We just wanted to address these concerns by reminding you that Cablevision continues to provide excellent value for your dollar. With 80 channels currently on your cable box, most customers pay less than $1.50 a month per channel, with reception far better than those clumsy old rabbit ears. And for people who say the Cablevision lineup lacks variety, we'd like to answer that by taking a channel-by-channel stroll across the dial, including some of the new options and lineups coming to cable in 2003. For example, channels 2, 4, and 7 are still the three major networks, while channel 5, 9, and 11 remain Fox, UPN, and WB11. Yes, they were free before cable, but now they're in color. Channel 6 brings you the movies of home box office, and such original programming as Sex and the City, 6 Feet Under, and The Sopranos. Under the new schedule terms, HBO is no longer part of basic cable or the Optimum plan, but you can purchase a $25 Gold plan, which entitles you to get Home Box Office, Home Box Office 2, and Home Box Office 3, which shows the same movies as Home Box Office 2, only 5 minutes later. So if you miss the start of a movie by 5 minutes, you can catch it from the beginning. For a small additional surcharge, you have the option of adding HBO 4, which shows the same movies as HBO 2 and HBO 3, only 10 minutes later and in letterbox format. Cablevision will continue to carry such news and public affairs outlets as the Financial News Network, MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, and the brand new FNN, the Fictional News Network, which will be devoted to White House press conferences. Of course, we'll be keeping the Weather Channel. And you'll be happy to know that we're expanding its range to include animated graphics for patchy fog, dew points, and snain. To help close Cablevision's budget gap, cost-cutting measures have been instituted at News 12 Long Island. They'll still offer the same great coverage of local news, but for a smaller geographic area, specifically Sunrise Highway between Rockville Center and Baldwin, but not counting North Rockville Center or Eastern Baldwin. Also, the female newscasters on News 12 will now look less like Billy Joel's ex-girlfriend and more like Billy Joel. Public television stations WNET and Long Island's WLIW remain on the dial, though to cover cuts in grant funding, Sesame Street will now be brought to you by the letter L, by the number 3, and by the beer Budweiser. We want you to know that despite the belt-tightening at Cablevision, we're committed to making the unreadable daily schedules on Channel 14 even more complex. Channel 17 will continue to carry metro traffic and weather for our dozens and dozens of viewers who have televisions in their cars. The very popular Discovery Channel and Food Network will merge into one channel in which celebrities find and admire rare species and then eat them. Nostalgia buffs can still get their fix on TV Land, Nickelodeon, the Game Show Network, and the Soap Channel. And be sure to look for our brand new Test Patterns Channel, we bring back old favorites, such as the Indian Chief, the American flag, and my favorite, those wacky rainbow color bars. MTV will continue to offer its mix of videos and original programming, including the new reality series, Love That Ronnie, Laugh with former President Ronald Reagan as 36 cameras capture his daily foibles, such as diaper time, and trying to associate that brownish-gray crust on his chin with the word oatmeal. The History Channel will officially change its name to the Hitler Channel and broadcast its latest find, the only three-dimensional color footage of the Third Reich, including Dr. Joseph Mengele looming in and out of focus with a speculum. Long Island's growing Spanish community will now get a fourth channel, WHBO, which translates all the movies on HBO 7 into Castilian and starts them 3 minutes later than the movies on HBO 6 that are translated into Esperanto. IFC, the independent film channel, will remain free of commercials and dedicated to offering quality movies out of the mainstream for discerning audiences. Please be assured that Cablevision will continue trying to change all that to make the station more viewer-friendly. We have added IFC2, which kicks off in January with a month-long documentary festival. The movie Crumb will be shown over and 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 over again. Speaking of which, if you're a Saturday Night Live fan, and who isn't, you'll be happy to know that rebroadcasts of SNL will now not only be seen on NBC, Comedy Central, and E!, but also TV Land, FX, AE, and the Turner Network. Sketches written by women will be used as fillers on the Lifetime and WE channels. Sketches featuring Garrett Morris and Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock will appear on BET. And the Louise Lasser episode from 1975 will be shown on the Sci-Fi channel. Public access will be cut back to make room for the brand new Cablevision Shopping Network, in which viewers bid on which movies they'll get to see on pay-per-view a month later. Bowing to legal pressure to include all of the Americas in its programming, the American Movie Channel will now show Canadian movies, as well as Mexican wrestling films, and two-reelers starring that south-of-the-border cut-up, Cantinflas. To gain a wider audience, the American Movie Channel has also changed the definition of the phrase old movies to mean any film made before 2000 but after 1988. There will be 8 new pay-per-view channels and 3 more home shopping channels, all with picture-in-picture so they can be watched simultaneously. FCC laws forbid us from doing away with public access entirely, so there will still be homegrown local programming on Channel 71 between 3 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. every third Sunday except in July. And, to demonstrate Cablevision's openness to criticism and viewer comments, public access host Glendora will be getting her own variety show, featuring corny jokes, monologues, and those oh-so-nutty legal transcripts. Gotta love her! Speaking of the FCC, the government also forbids Cablevision from airing hardcore pornography, so Playboy and the Spice Channel will still refrain from showing erections, penetrations, and ejaculations. However, to compensate, Animal Planet will be adding a new show to its schedule. It's called Let's Watch Animals. Daisy Fuentes hosts and participates. We know that as TV viewers, you have other options besides Cablevision, such as satellite dishes, of course. Or you can just put the old aerial on the roof and twist towards the sun. But we think you'll stay with us, despite the recent price alterations, because, you know, we're constantly trying to improve reception, customer service, and the range of programming. In fact, it's not a deal yet, but we're very close to signing for a second weather channel and a sports channel devoted to elementary school gymnastic competitions from around the world. Wow! And a note for you folks looking for our oscilloscope and test patterns, they're still on channel 117 in digital format. Further proof of the superior choice and unparalleled value you get with Cablevision of Wrong Island. We will now repeat this message on Channel 71 over and 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 over.
dollar bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. Well now, home entertainment was my baby's wish, so I hopped to town for a satellite dish. I tied it to the top of my Japanese car. I came home when I pointed it out into the stars. A message came back from the great beyond. It's 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. Might have made some friends with some billionaires. We might have got all nice and friendly if we made it upstairs. All I got was a note that said bye bye John. I love 57 channels and nothing on. So I bought a 44 Magnum with solid steel cast, and in the blessed name of Elvis, well I just let it blast. Till my TV lay in pieces there at my feet, and it busted me for disturbing the almighty peace. Judge said what you got in your defense, son. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. I can see by your eyes, friend, you just about gone. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
Well, 187 channels, nothing still on them. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to me instead of cable this Sunday night. I hope I was able to wet your whistle for the week ahead. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see a playlist for the music and on this and previous shows, plus all sorts of information about Dave's Gone By, including our new picture page. Plus, learn about the Bystanders Club and how you can purchase audio tapes of previous episodes just in time for the holidays. Thank you, Station Manager Joey, Engineer Paul, Wife Joyce. Special thanks to my guest, Steve the Whistler Herbst. Get his CD, Broadway and Beyond, at stevethewhistler.com. And we're giving away one copy of his CD to a lucky listener. Just send me an email and suggest a song you'd like to hear Steve whistle. He won't do it, but you might give him some ideas for his next album. Send that suggestion to davesgoneby@aol.com, or you can leave a phone message at 516-295-1511 between now and the deadline, midnight, Monday, December 9th. That's tomorrow. Make sure to leave your name, phone number, and mailing address. We'll pick one email or phone call at random, and we'll send the winner a copy of Broadway and Beyond, hopefully before Christmas, although I can't guarantee it. It also might be autographed, I'm not 100% sure on that either, but definitely worth entering the contest either way. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby@aol.com. I want to give a shout-out to two other WGBB programs, Joe Salzone Live, Saturday nights at 7:30, and Entertainment Long Island, Don Lewis's show tonight at 10. Also, a shout-out to Donna at Cedarhurst Taxi. Donna, I'm still not sure which is the right way to show an outside menorah, but I think you were right, smartass. That's Dave's Gone By for this week, the Lips Together, Knees Apart edition. Tune in next Sunday at 8. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, go blow, and gone by.
Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against the moral sky.
This is tougher than it sounds.
And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. I never, ever, never, ever get so old again.
You
You've been listening to Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz on 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
The hell will drive my chariot, Daniel, beats and crash.